We've already turned to Matthew chapter 14. Thank you, Norman, for reading that. And yes, for a change, I had a scripture ready. And we're going to just read just some verses as well from John chapter 6, which relate to exactly the same experience, but just verses 5 to 10, where there's just a little bit more being added in by John, where it says, "Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?' He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?' And Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number." We know this account of scripture so very well. Probably if you were brought up in a church and went to Sunday school, you heard it told many times, and I know I've preached from it quite a number of times as well, and others that preach have probably preached from it a number of times. And so, you know, we think, well, what else can we learn from it? And I don't know whether you will learn anything else this evening, but it's God's word. It's living and powerful word. And so even with what I share this evening, I believe that God can just challenge us once again and minister to us by his Holy Spirit. And so first of all, we're just going to overview not the story itself, but the characters that we find within this story. We're going to start off with the crowd. And it's inevitable, after being there for such a long time, that they would be tired and hungry. It had been a long day. Luke, in his account, says that the day began to wear away. And I guess the people were wearing away as well. And I was thinking about that, you know, that Jesus had been speaking for such a long time. And yet today folk moan if the pastor or those that are speaking are any more than 30 or 35 minutes. Goodness knows how long Jesus had been. And so we know that at the end of it all, they were weary and tired. But we could say that they would have known what Jesus was like anyway. So why didn't they go prepared? But they weren't prepared. But they were willing to listen. Not just for 15 minutes, half an hour, but they were willing to listen for a long time, because Jesus was teaching the kingdom of God. And as he taught them, and as he did what he did, it excited them, and they wanted more, and they wanted more. I think really it's a lesson for us that preach and minister. We should serve in such a way that those that listen will long for more as they're fed with the word of God. And then there's the crowd, the lad. Scripture doesn't tell us how old he was. At the end of the day, he was just an innocent bystander. Yet, he gave up what little he had, probably thinking, well, this would help feed one or two. Hopefully, as I give what I've got, there will be others who will hand over what they've got. But no, just his offering was given. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But as I thought of this young lad handing over the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and then seeing what Jesus did with them, I could think of this lad as he returns home. What a story he had to tell. This is what happened with my lunch. I had 5 loaves and 2 little fishes, and you're not going to believe it. And he began to tell what had happened. And isn't it the same today, people? You won't believe what Jesus has done. And yet, they just don't want to know. They just don't want to listen. But then there were the disciples, and the disciples, they should have known better, really, in the whole of this narrative, because they'd already witnessed the miraculous that Jesus had been doing. They'd seen him turn water into wine, on other occasions as well. And yet we find that when Jesus tells them that the crowd is tired, get something for them to eat, they were happier to try to send the crowd home. Just tell them to go home. But then there was Jesus. And quite simply, we can say, with Jesus present, anything can happen. Anything can happen. See, with Jesus, he could have just spoken some food into being. After all, he was with God at creation. And what happened there? God just spoke, and everything came into being. So he could have just spoken some food. Let there be bread. He could have done that without any problem. He could have taken up the stones or pebbles that lay around them and turned that into bread. And why not? Because he could have done it. He could turn water into wine. And you remember that in the wilderness, even the devil acknowledged that Jesus could have turned stone into bread. He didn't then, because it was a temptation. But he could have done it here to satisfy the hunger. But no, he didn't. He took the situation as an opportunity to challenge the disciples' faith, to encourage the lad, to declare his power, and to demonstrate that little can become much when it's handed over to God. And this is what is important to grasp from this passage. He only asked the disciples to find some food. He didn't tell them how much they had to find. Just find some food. Get some food. And then leave the rest to me. All that was required from the disciples was obedience. A step of faith. And for the lad, it was just a case of handing over all he had, or surrendering willingly to give what little he had to Jesus. And as a result of his willingness and of the disciples' obedience, they were able to witness something spectacular. Note what the disciples said in verse 17. "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And John adds, "What are they for so many?" From the disciples' perspective, 5 loaves and 2 fishes was insufficient. They probably worked it out in their heads. It worked out 1 fish per 2,500 and 1 loaf per 1,000. And an even larger ratio when you factor in the women and children. Imagine trying that out at a big reception or a party. A big party at budget cost. It was even better than Costco. See, from the Lord Jesus' perspective, it was plenty. Even if the lad had only got 1 loaf and 1 fish, it would still have been plenty in the Saviour's hands. And if the lad had already had a chew of the bread and a bite of the fish, it would still have been sufficient. And let's be honest, you couldn't have blamed him if, knowing he was going to hand it over, that he quickly opened it up and then handed over the rest. What is the simple, most basic thing we can understand from this story? We just have to give what and who we are and what we have, and who knows what God will do. See, it doesn't matter how insignificant we may feel we are. It doesn't matter how unimportant or even how long we've been on the Christian journey. God can take every one of us, and he can demonstrate his glory and his power through us as we just simply make ourselves available. There's not one of us that needs to be on the big pulpit before God can minister through us and bless us. If he can use a young Galilean lad on the Galilean hillside, he can use you and me in the very communities where we are living. All we need to do is just hand ourselves over to him and hand what little we have over to him and allow him to lift us up as he lifted up those loaves and fishes and to bless us as he did with the loaves and fishes. And through our obedience and sacrifice, the spiritual hunger of the local community around us can be met. Now, this story, in John's Gospel in particular, led on eventually to a declaration that Jesus made about himself. It's good that Jesus takes all these things that happens and leads them on to something else. And we find that when we come to John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." He just performed an amazing miracle with the loaves of bread. But now he says to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus, the bread of life. And to me, as amazing as the feeding of the 5,000 was, this news about Jesus being the bread of life is even more amazing and more exciting. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, once given and taken and broken in the Saviour's hand, fed 5,000 men, plus the women and children. But the one who is the living bread was also taken and broken when he hung on the cross. And as a result, he doesn't just feed 5,000 plus women and children. So far, the living bread has fed countless millions. And as the few loaves and fishes was enough to satisfy the physical hunger of thousands, the one loaf of living bread is enough to satisfy the spiritual hunger of the whole of mankind, so that whoever comes and partakes of him will never hunger or thirst and will have eternal life. And that, to me, is the greatest miracle of all. Then what is even more amazing about the feeding of the 5,000 with those 5 loaves and 2 fishes is that there were 12 basketfuls taken up of the crumbs that were left. Tells me they were messy eaters. 12 basketfuls of crumbs taken up. They finished off with more than they had started with. And that's after they had all had their fill. There was more than enough. Remember, what is this? The disciples said. Well, here's the answer. It's more than enough. There's more left over than what we started with. And I wonder what happened to the crumbs. I wonder what happened to the crumbs. And for how long afterwards they may have been used in some way to feed and to satisfy. And Jesus, the living bread, is more than enough. 2,000 years later, he is still satisfying the spiritual hunger of men and women. He still is the answer to the spiritual problems of this crowded world today. And I can testify, I took of the bread of life 53 years ago, and I'm still partaking of the bread of life. And I can say, without any shadow of doubt, I'm still being satisfied. And the disciples asked the question, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" And although they do not realize it, men and women are asking the same question today. How can we get bread to satisfy? How can we be satisfied? How can we be fully satisfied? Where can we get what we need? And we find that mankind is shopping here and he's shopping there. He's looking for bread that will satisfy their spiritual hunger. They go to the marketplace that is full of spiritual supermarkets. And all of these spiritual supermarkets are competing for business. There's one that offers satisfaction through sexual activity. There's another one that offers satisfaction through drugs. There's another that offers satisfaction through alcohol. There's another one that offers satisfaction through pleasure. There's another one that offers it through materialism. There's another one that offers it through greed. And there are many that offer it through other forms of religion and spiritual experiences. But not one of them, not a single one of them, is able to satisfy the spiritual hunger of the world. And the more these spiritual supermarkets of the world grow and expand, the less satisfied this world in which we're living in has become. See, we can have more today. We can do more today. We can be more today. We can explore more than the world's population has ever been able to do through the centuries. And yet, we become less satisfied. We become more lost and full of hopelessness. And the answer, the only answer, is found in the one who was sent from heaven as the true and the living bread. He alone, Jesus alone, can satisfy and meet the need of mankind. Isaiah portrays it this way. Come, come. It's an open invitation to every man and woman, every boy and girl. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul might live. I trust, but I believe we all are this evening, shopping in the right store today, at the supermarket that is full of heaven-sent supplies and is all being paid for at Calvary. But it could be that while we should be enjoying the bread from heaven, and I believe this is a sad case with so many who claim to be following Christ today, but it could be that while we claim to be enjoying the bread from heaven, we're not as loyal a customer as we should be. We're still trying the wares from the supermarkets of this world. But I want to declare tonight, but nothing and no one will satisfy as Jesus satisfies. The wares from the world's supermarkets are but temporal, but that which comes from heaven is eternal. So, it's just a short message tonight. There is only one bread. Only one bread. And it's the living bread. And the living bread is enough for the millions, or the billions should it be, who will believe and partake. And so, in that narrative, the lad was blessed. The disciples were challenged. The crowd were fed. The need was met. And Jesus was glorified. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? That Jesus will be glorified. And I trust that as we've come to partake of the one who is the living bread, that through our hearts, through our lives, through who we are and what we do, that the living bread is being glorified so that others will come and will eat. Amen.